The opinions voiced in this podcast are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which strategies or investments may be suitable for you, consult the appropriate qualified professional prior to making a decision. I'm Hank Stoltz, and this is the podcast of Clear Path of Financial Partners. We are with the president of Clear Path of Financial Partners, Ryan Kittredge, also financial advisor. And Ryan, thanks for coming by today to talk about some college planning. And this is the time of the year, that's for sure. Kids have graduated from high school, and kids getting ready to head off to college. And hopefully mom and dad have done some planning.
Or if they haven't, you know, what can they do about it, maybe? So we can talk about some of those things.
Exactly. Certainly. So college planning, people are struggling with FAFSA and everything else. But let's talk about that. Your child has been born, and do you have to begin saving immediately? Like, I mean, it's like, hey, thank you for all your baby presents. What we need is some cash. We got to start putting that away in an account somewhere. Right. Because college tuition nowadays it just seems outrageous.
Indeed it is. Yeah, absolutely. No, thanks for having me here today, Hank. It's great to be here on a sunny day in July next to the ballpark. It's wonderful.
No, you can't beat that. It's a little humid these days, that's for sure.
Oh. Brutal. I mean, on the topic of finances, the electric bills for home and in the office were a bit intimidating this go around. I just got them and I was like, whoa, there's got to be an error here.
Yeah, that's a great point, because it is just so hot. I mean, I actually said to my wife the other day, I said, now, is this little air conditioner, was this built to run for 14 straight days at its lowest temperature, or do we have to give it a break at some point here?
Exactly. I know. They're working hard as anybody. Oh, boy, I really feel, especially for the guys outside today, up on roofs and out landscaping and stuff like that. It's been a hot stretch, so hope people stay cool and safe out there. But, you know, so to your question, Hank, yeah, it's one of those things. People know that there's no surprise that the cost of higher education has increased it dramatically over the past several decades. And so, you know, for some of those really planning-oriented clients, typically for us, it's new grandparents that they have their first grandchild born. You know, most of their kids probably have a million things on their mind about how to get the room set up and how to, if it's their first go at it, learn, you know, what a parent should do and how this whole thing works. So they may not be thinking about it immediately, but sometimes our clients who are the grandparents of these newborns are like, hey, great news, we had our first grandchild and we want to get that thing up and running. You know, let's get some education planning going. I'm like, well, that's fantastic. Like, when were they born? And they're like, well, yesterday. And I'm like, well, okay, I'm like, I'm glad you're, you know, anxious to get started, but they definitely, you know, they need to have like a social security number, and you know, there's a few things, so we can get started.
But that's such a great point, I think. About the grandparents who now have been through it, obviously, with their own kids, and know what it's like when you're going through the, oh, my baby is now old enough to go off to college, and they're moving away, and wow, do I have enough money to send them to college? Because when you, of course, oftentimes when you have your first child, or when you're building your family, you're also building your career at the same time, and you're getting hit with so many different bills. It can be hard maybe to save for college, Ryan, because it seems so far in the future. Right. I've got more immediate needs. But
indeed.
Again, we're back to the college tuition. Have you seen what it is these days? Holy cow.
Yeah, it's a huge issue. And in terms of financial planning tenants, they typically say that the college planning, even if your desire is, you know, for your kids, if they're they're able and willing, and you know, to be able to have that opportunity to go to college, even regardless of how important that goal is, it probably doesn't take first priority, right? It's usually cash flow management, debt management, starting a foundation for retirement. Because I heard probably 20 years ago when I was before I started in the business, you know, there's no financial aid for retirement, right? So the kind of the premise was, and I've seen this a few times, is where parents of children almost over-prioritize the kids' education, perhaps jeopardizing some of their own financial security. So you don't want to do that, right? So we can kind of talk about how you can fit it in and if you can. And it's true, Hank, that a lot of my experience working with families that have kids growing up, for years, there's other priorities, right? And then all of a sudden, you know, then they're 6, 7, you're like, oh, I still have like over a decade. But then, you know, only a few years go by and you're like, oh my God, they're going into high school and geez, there's college in 4 years. How did that even happen? And so, you know, I think we can talk a little bit about if you are, I guess, fortunate enough to have the cash flow and financial wherewithal to start prioritizing that sooner, what's the best way to do that? But then we can also talk about the oh crap moments of, hey, this is around the corner and we don't want to be the dream crusher for our kids, right, but also, right, you know, they're talking about reality. Holy cross.
Yeah, and reality.
We know what the price tag is. Yeah.
Okay. So let's start with the, you're going to plan, or where you just started, the grandparents have actually called and literally, you know, the child was just born and hey, I hang on. Congratulations. I got to call my financial planner here.
Right.
So I see these ads, Ryan, on TV. It seems as if every state wants to help out and help you put some money aside. Is this something where every state is different? Is it something that is nationwide? Is it something where, you know, the IRS says, okay, here's what your plan is?
Great question. And you're referring probably to the 529 plans. And in Massachusetts, it's the Fidelity U Fund. So each state has its own sponsor. Typically, they're a mutual fund company or some type of financial institution that is the sponsor. Each state picks it, and they have a platform that you can use. Now, you know, in that, we'll talk about other options because like any type of account, there are, especially ones with tax advantages like this, there are some caveats and restrictions. So you need to be aware of those. So first, what I'll say is the 529 plan is the most popular and probably the most utilized even with our clients, but it's not the only option for earmarked college savings. So we can talk about that a little bit as well. But yeah, the 529 plans, each state has their own. You can use the in-state plan, but you don't have to. You can go outside the state. Each state has their own tax advantages or not. And what I mean by that is they kind of all work the same way, but it's up to each individual state to determine if they give any type of tax benefit for using their plan. And in Massachusetts, for a number of years, there was no in-state tax benefit. So it sort of was like whatever plan you want to use that is easier to administer and has the better investment choices and all that kind of thing. But they did some years back, several years ago, instituted a small tax credit in Massachusetts. Now, it's small. It's the first $2,000 of contribution in a year gets a state tax deduction. So what that means, the state income tax is 5% here in Mass. So you basically get $100. As a kind of a tax gift, you know, a refund essentially as a credit. So it's minimal. I mean, frankly, I think it was probably Fidelity lobbying to have a tax credit so then they could promote it and say, well, boy, you better use our plan. You get all these great tax benefits. And then when I tell clients about it, they're like, oh, it's $100. Like in the scheme of things, you know, that may or may not be important.
Is that the best way, though, to save the U Fund, just because some of the other advantages might just be your setup, it's easy, you're in the habit, it just makes it easy for you to be able to do?
Definitely, yeah. And, you know, especially it's no surprise that Fidelity is the plan sponsor for the Massachusetts plan, 529, because they're a Massachusetts company and they're one of the few largest financial institutions out there. I mean, once you get Pat, you know, BlackRock, iShares, Vanguard, State Street out of Boston, then Fidelity's right there. And they're the most popular retirement plan sponsor in Massachusetts. So if people have 401k plans, they may already have a Fidelity login and an account. And if they're a sort of a do-it-yourselfer, self-directed investor, the Fidelity 529 plan's probably a really good option. Fidelity mutual funds are, typically you're going to be restricted to that particular financial institution's own investment options, right? So Fidelity has some great funds. They're not all the best. They're not expensive mutual funds. So they price fairly, but they're not, you know, very lean at cost, like something like maybe like a Vanguard or some other index option. So it's a solid choice for sure, but it doesn't mean you have to stick with that plan.
All right, we're talking about college planning, and we're speaking about college planning with Ryan Kittredge, President, Financial Advisor for ClearPath Financial Partners in Northborough. Get in touch with ClearPath Financial Partners. You can hear our past podcast at ClearPath Financial Partners. You can get some great advice, obviously, just by giving them a call. So give them a call at 508-219-7221 or simply head to clearpathfinancialpartners.com. Ryan, as we're talking about these plans and putting money aside and the U Fund or these 529 plans, if parents, grandparents want to make these contributions, where else or what are some other things for them to do or better good places mm-hmm. for them to set money aside besides a 529 plan? Or is that really it?
No, it's not it. But the reason it's the most popular vehicle and tends to be the primary one is that it has a significant tax advantage in that any earnings, growth, you know, of the investments, dividends, interest, all of that over time is tax free if used for a qualifying educational expense. And I can tell, you know, get into what that is, but it's powerful. So if you start it early enough and you have at least a few years, ideally several, to sort of as a runway, that tax compounding, you know, tax-free compounding and then withdrawal can be pretty powerful. So that's the nice thing about it is you get a great tax break and the money will come out as more than it would have had it been in probably any other type of account where the taxes on the growth would come out of what's remaining, right? And this one, it's all tax-free if it's used for college. So the caveat with that is, you know, they've expanded this, which is great over the years. Now you can use, it's not just for higher education. You can use up to $10,000 a year for private elementary or high school. You can use it for professional studies. If someone doesn't go to a traditional college, they go to anything from a trade school to a therapeutic type of sort of emotional counseling to professional studies and conferences and continuing education, it covers all of that. So it's pretty broad. So one of the big concerns was, well, what if little Andy doesn't, you know, he's not the college type and he wants to go into his own business or go into the trades or something like that. Well, it's much broader these days. And there's even now provisions with it where if the student doesn't use it all up because they just don't have those costs, they can start transferring money from that tax-free directly into a Roth IRA if they're working and they have some earned income. So that's pretty cool too. But that's not the only one, Hank, because if they want to have something that's earmarked for the child, but it's not necessarily restricted to education, they want them to have a little bit more leeway with it, they may use an UTMA account, which is like it's a custodial account. It's just the acronym stands for Uniform Transfer to Minors Act, but literally all it is a type of account. It doesn't have any special tax break, but what it does is the grandparent or the parent or whoever sets it up, they're in control. It's, you know, they decide what goes in, how it's invested, when it comes out, but then they can decide to sort of then transfer it into the name of the child, or by default at age 21, then it becomes the child's. And then in their mind, they may like that type of account instead of, or typically in tandem with a 529, because then they can say, well, we can split it. This portion that we're putting away is definitely toward education, but this other portion, it's will decide by age 21 if they're in prop maturity and judgment to get the money and have control over it. And if not, then they can always sort of, they stay in control so they can kind of recall it and that kind of thing. So there are some other accounts as well, but those are kind of the main ones for college planning. And then in terms of where people actually pull money from when it comes time to pay it, there's many different places.
Right, right. Yeah. So I suppose the optimum would be that you've been saving for 17, 18 years. When you have this a runway, 10 years or 5 years, is there a time when people typically kind of start to put away into these plans and have enough time to build something up so that at least you got a pretty good cushion for a couple of years in there anyway?
Right, absolutely. Fact is, most people going to college don't have money sitting in a 529 plan, right? They're kind of they're piecemealing that bill together to pay for that from various sources, and we'll talk about some of those if we have time. But the people start at all different stages, and they have different funding goals. Typically, you're not target funding for a Harvard University for 4 years, and then they're going to go to medical school, and we're going to add it all up, and it's $580,000, and so we need to make sure that they have that much money. Like, no one's doing that. Most people, almost everybody, couldn't afford to do that, even if they wanted to. And if they wanted to and could, they probably still shouldn't. But people start at different phases. We kind of come up with, realistically, what's a proper funding goal that will make an impact, but not derail their own financial future and security today, right? So it oftentimes, Hank, it is like, okay, why don't we look at, all right, sort of a state in state, you know, UMass education, and they're going to target fund so that based on what we project the inflation rate of that to be, that they're going to be on target to fund 50% of a four-year in-state tuition. And then the kids are going to make up the difference. And if they want to go to a private school, then it's up to them to do work study, take out student loans. And I mean, usually those things are all kind of wrapped in as part of it anyway.
So let's get to it's this summer, or it was this past spring, and your child is graduating. You have done none of what we have just talked about for the last 10 minutes or so.
Yep.
And you got a child who's now, the acceptances are starting to come in, and it's the Holy Crosses, and it's the BC, and it's okay, I want to make this happen.
Yeah.
This is going to start to pull from some of these other sources maybe you were talking about a minute ago. How do you face that? Is there a way to get that done?
Yeah. There can be, and hopefully there are, but you do have to be realistic about it as well. Like, my parents, they didn't, they weren't able to really, when we were, myself and I had two younger brothers, they didn't have the ability to plan years in advance. So it was kind of, they weren't totally head in the sand about it. Like, they knew it was coming, but there weren't the dollars there, right? So you do have to look at the breakdown and how you can piece it together. And oftentimes that can come from some student loans. Even some high net worth clients who could pay outright, they still want their kids to have some skin in the game, right? So federally subsidized or unsubsidized, depending on income, student loans can be a great start. They usually are like $5,500 a year that they can pull out, and they say, you know what, at least when they get out, they can have $20,000, $25,000. That's doable without overburdening them, but they have skin in the game and they're going to take it more seriously. From there, financial aid, if it's available, both through the FAFSA, and then each college has their own financial profile. So some can look at things very differently. And there are certain colleges I remember where we got a ton of financial aid, and I was like, oh my God, they're paying for the majority. And then other ones are like nothing, right? Mm-hmm. So yeah, you can piece it together, and there are other sources, but once you know really what you might be able to provide, I think it's important for parents and guidance counselors to talk to the kids about what's realistic. And, I remember I ended up going to Loyola, with a scholarship and financial aid. And, but when my dad sat down and said, hey, here's what BC or Villanova looks like if you have to borrow $120,000 instead of $20,000. And here's the payments, and it's going to, you're going to pay $1,800 a month for the next 25 years, and you'll have repaid $280,000. And I'm like, well, that sounds bad. And he's like, yeah, I think so too. I don't think you should go to one of those schools. You're not going to, you know, the ROI is not going to be there. So you do need to consider that.
Interesting. All right. So all of these things that have to be considered as you're looking at this, we've got a couple of minutes left. So what's the most important thing in that couple of minutes when it comes to college planning? And for people who are giving you a call, Ryan, at ClearPath Financial Partners and saying, I need you to take a look at this. I need you to offer me some guidance on this.
Yeah, I think it's to explore scholarship options, and usually a guidance counselor can help that. It's to look for the student loans. Some of the most attractive options are still the federal issued loans. And then MEFA, M-E-F-A, they offer some decent loans. Today's interest rates, they're pretty competitive because some of the private loans, the parent plus loans even that the parents take on, they're at like over 9% fixed for life. And that's pretty rough to sort of take on. So we found that some people can get some various loans and then some combination of either a draw from an investment or savings account as part of it, even IRA accounts, even if the person's only in their 40s or 50s and they have a kid going to school, you can actually use IRAs and it avoids the penalty for early withdrawal. So that's on the table. And then even things like home equity lines of credit, you know, even though the rates aren't great, they may be a little more attractive than some of the other private loan options.
Ryan, what's the best way people want to continue this conversation that we've been having about college planning, or they just have been listening to the ClearPath Financial Partners podcast and they say, Ryan, I want you to give me some advice and I want to come to you and take a look at what I've got. What's the best way for them to get in touch?
Yeah, just jump right on our website, clearpathfinancialpartners.com. You can learn a bit about us, but you can just click the button to submit some, you know, your questions or inquiries, and we'll reply and find a time to get on the phone and just talk through whatever the questions are.
I'm Hank Stoltz for Ryan Kittredge. Thank you so much for joining us on the podcast of ClearPath Financial Partners. The opinions voiced in this podcast are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which strategies or investments may be suitable for you, consult the appropriate qualified professional prior to making a decision.